the Hittites, the Lord of the Hatti. Now, the Hittites are an unusual group to be looking at in Mesopotamia because they're really not in Mesopotamia. The Hittites are from Turkey. At least that's where the Hittite kingdom is centered. It's centered in the north central to northwestern part of Turkey. Capital is Hattusis, and the religious center is Yazilkaya. Now the Hittites will control most of what is now central and western Turkey, and then it will spill over into a little bit of what is western Iraq and northern Syria. But it will, for a period of time, will expand a little bit further than that. Now, the Hittite imperial period runs from about 1700 BCE to about 1200 BCE. And they will stretch as far as Babylon. They will capture Babylon in 1595 BCE. They will bother the core homeland of early Assyria at the same time, and then they will descend south into the northern part of Phoenicia, where they run into the Egyptians. And of course, you have the famous battle at Kadesh in 1285 BCE that takes place. They may also have extended their outposts to far western Turkey. There's always been discussion that the Troy may have at one time been a very distant outpost, a very lucrative outpost of the Hittites. And then as it began to collapse at the end of the imperial period and it began to shrink, Troy became more of an independent area itself. We know that they exert great power because we have some very interesting diplomatic correspondence. Probably one of the most interesting is the famous letter from Ankhesepaten, King Tut's wife, to the Hittites, asking for one of his sons to be sent to Egypt to marry her because her husband is dead and she did not have any children, and things like that. Now, on the edges, the southern edge, of course, we have the Phoenicians and the Canaanites, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and, of course, the Mycenaeans off to the other direction. What really will separate the Hittites from everyone else is they're the first people in this area to use iron. It's their main contribution. And that technological advantage allowed them to conquer a great number of people. It's one of those cases where they actually conquered an area far larger than they could really control based on their population. But their military edge, you know, having an iron spear, having iron axles, iron hubs, all sorts of things allowed you iron swords. You know, if you've got an iron sword and your opponent has a bronze sword or a copper sword, the iron sword is going to break them eventually. It's going to have a sharper edge. It's going to keep that edge longer. It just allowed those spectacular advantages. And, of course, once you lose that advantage and the other people realize how to utilize that metal, then, of course, it comes back on them. So they're not going to completely dominate the whole Mesopotamian region for a long period of time, as some of the others will, such as the Assyrians. But that's really their major contribution. Now, as far as religion is concerned, there's a unique situation which occurs with the Hittites, and that is when we looked at the other cultures thus far, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, and I've done the Assyrians. They basically follow the same pattern of gods, with the change being that whosoever city is the capital, that god tends to take over for everybody except for the creator god. In the case of the Hittites, there's actually two separate sections of gods. There appears to be a core group of Hittite gods, and then there's an adopted group of Mesopotamian gods. As if when these people took over the Middle East, they didn't want to force their gods on them. They picked a few that were important, but they allowed the people in Mesopotamia to utilize the same people that they had been operating with. So if you look at the, and I've only been using a very small number of gods and goddesses as we've gone through Mesopotamia, if we use the same number, the overall number one god of the Hittites is Tesheb, which is who is known as the Lord of Hatti. He is a weather god and the king of heaven. And then you have Arina, A-R-I-N-N-A, who is a sun goddess. And then they have Shashushka, which is Ishtar, our love goddess. They kept her. And then you have Anu, the creator god, Enlil, the lord of air, and Ea, the lord of the earth. So to some extent, they adopted the same gods that the Mesopotamians had, or at least utilized them, and put their person, Tesheb, and the sun goddess, Arina, up above the others. And that would allow them to placate the people that they had conquered. So it's kind of unique, and we have documents because they're very big negotiating. The diplomatic action during this time period is really going to become more prevalent, because this is an era that once the Hittites collapse, of course, you have the rise of Assyria, and there's all sorts of documents that survive from that group of people. So the Hittites are kind of unique. Now, their religious center, the religious center at Yazul Kaya, which is built, by the way, by King Tudhalius IV. I had a course in Mesopotamian history, otherwise I wouldn't be able to pronounce these either. These are up in the mountains in Turkey, and they're pretty difficult to get to. And it's at Yazul Kaya, there's this whole core of a grotto of large stones in which you have a building that would have been out in front. The foundation still exists, and then you go into the grotto to different nooks and crannies where you will find, and one, they have this carving of the Hittite warriors with their conical-shaped helmets on and other things. And then in the central core, there's a section of carvings, and then three or four niches, or niches, as some people like to pronounce, which may have had some power center. So it's unique, and it's carved out of the natural rock. Now, there are some people that have drawn some connections between some of the Hittite gods and goddesses with those of the Indo-Aryans that went into the Indus Valley civilization. And it is possible the Hittites probably came in to this region and then moved out and into the conquering. And the capital is Hattusis, or Tusa, and it has these beautiful, again, it's very large. If you were to go to Mycenae and see the large megalithic rocks which are piled one on top of the other, Hattusa looks very, very much like that, with two lions that guard the entrance to the main palace. One lion still has its full features. The other lion has had its head defaced, which is pretty typical, and it is also up into the highlands, and then it's in pretty bad shape. There are still people who visit it every so often, but it's kind of rugged to get to. But the Hittites, again, as far as their contributions, the first use of iron. Of course, the use of iron in the weapons. So when you're going to get a technological advantage, you want to use it on your opponents to get richer or to control more land, or both, which that, of course, allowed them to defeat most of the Mesopotamian countries, at least until they lost that advantage. And, of course, their mixing of the gods with the locals. But it doesn't appear that they extended an organization of their empire organization over the region, that they would have just controlled sections and with their military and tribute cases, whereas the Assyrians, of course, created this whole system of government, which allowed them to control different regions, and you'd have governors and broken down all down the absolute lowest levels. And unfortunately for the Hittites, once the technological contribution is gone, they will be removed from the scene. They'll be pushed back up into Turkey, where they will stay until the Assyrians. Assyrians will take over most of that of their territory under Assurbanipal, and Assyria will have again the largest empire. We've actually increased in size. You know, you start with the Sumerians with a small section, and then you go to the Babylonians, which increase the control. Then the Hittites have a larger section of control, and then the Assyrians expand that even more, because they'll go all the way to Egypt. So as far as material on the Hittites, they're not quite as sexy as some of the other Mesopotamian groups because they're in Turkey. But some of the sources for this, we will find Secrets of the Hittites by Suram, which is a really old, one of the early works on the Hittites, Cultural Atlas of Mesopotamia by Rofe, and then Life and Society in the Hittite World by Bryce, which is really good. And that'll actually give you some of the social background, which isn't that much different than the groups that we've already looked at. So, hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to come by the website and leave a comment or ask a question. And thank you very much.